today on Real Radio.
There's a lot of rumors out there about this salvation. We're going to look at them today. If we can't earn it, Pastor, I've heard you say that. If we can't improve upon it, then what's my relationship to it?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We've been in a series called You Need to Know all about your salvation. In fact, Pastor Jack has been concentrating on this topic for a while now because there are numerous questions surrounding this very central topic. One question that comes up quite a bit really is, can I lose my salvation? Well, once again, our teacher consults God's written word on this subject. It's a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, 12 is where we'll launch in our study today. John 1, verse 12. But before we do that, the previous two studies, we looked at this. All that you need to know about your salvation. We asked a couple of questions. Number one was, how is salvation experienced? A very critical study. If you missed it, go online and listen to it or watch it. How is salvation experienced? We looked at the details of that because it's human nature to try to earn, work, determine that we ourselves are saved. We've prayed enough. We've given enough money. We've done enough good works. And we think that that's how it's obtained. How is it experienced? And we are completely wrong. Listen, maybe you're here today and you're thinking salvation is experienced by how good you're doing with Jesus today or how good your week was last week with God. That's not it. As commendable as your attempt may be, that's not how salvation is experienced. Second week in our study, we looked at where do you begin? We defined salvation and how it's experienced, and after that, we asked the question, where do I begin regarding this journey of salvation? What do I do? And so now this morning, mark it down if you would, this is what we're looking at. How great is God's salvation? This is our third study today. How great is God's salvation? John chapter 1, verse 12. By way of introduction, we mentioned this. John 1, 12 says, but as many as received him, you ought to circle the word received, to them he gave the right. Some of your Bibles say power. That's okay. The right to become children of God. What qualifies them? To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, that is of human connection. In other words, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. You're not going to go to heaven because your parents are saved. You've got to be saved. Not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And when I asked you to circle the word receive, notice this, circle the word receive. If you look at verse 12, gave. You ought to circle the word gave. He gave the right. Verse 12 again, those who believe. Circle the word believe in his name. Received, gave, believed. These are the qualifiers. Very important to where we're going today. This word, by the way, right, he gave the right. Exousia is the word in the Greek. It is the power. Listen, the influence, the privilege. Listen, he gave the ability. All of his children, God would say, all of my kids have the ability to believe in my name. God knows this. You and I, we wake up to this. We realize this in life, in time. And there's a long story as to why. There's a long doctrine and teaching as to why that's true. When we consider this doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, it is vital that you understand this, church. We all need to remember this. And a lot of people don't like to hear this, but it's just the way that it is. With this doctrine being presented, the doctrine of salvation, for example, last week when all of those precious souls came forward, especially in third service and fourth service, I made the comment about how if you sense right now there's something going on in your life. You know that you're being kind of busted, as it were, that there seems to be a light shining on you in this room. There's a room packed with people, but you feel like you're the only one. And you've never experienced this sensation before that you need to respond to the gospel invitation. I said, if you're going through that, get up and come forward and stand for Christ. And with that challenge, wave after wave of people got up and came forward. Why? Because what you couldn't see, what was going on, is that God was inviting them privately inside of them between their own decision-making process and God. It was a sovereign moment where God was saying, you need to move, and there was pressure on them. I didn't place pressure on them. Nobody reached over and put their knickers in a wad or pinched their ear or started to cut their blood supply off. No, God was doing that to them. And they got up and came forward. Why? Because when the gospel message, when salvation's preached, there's an urgency that's caused by God. None of us like urgency. We live in a culture where, oh, I'm going to sit on that for a while. And that may be true about buying a house or buying a car or making some big decision. It's not true about choosing Christ. Because, listen, it's so clear God does that. He so speaks, that's his business. And listen, you and I have no hope, assurance that we're going to see the sunrise tomorrow. Or for that matter, the sunset today. And so listen, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, mark it down. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 says, we then, says Paul to the Greeks at Corinth, as workers together with him, God, also plead with you, that is the audience, not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, now he quotes the Old Testament, in an acceptable time I have heard you, a God-ordained moment. He says, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. God's done everything. Notice the urgency. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Urgency to choose Christ, to give your heart to Christ. And so I want to ask you this question as we get into our third installment of this teaching. What of this salvation? Well, I mean, what of it? There's a lot of rumors out there about this salvation. We're going to look at them today. If we can't earn it, Pastor, I've heard you say that. If we can't improve upon it, then what's my relationship to it? You've been saying week after week recently that God has done it. It's not by works. It's not by my good deeds, that it's purchased by the blood of Christ. So what of it? To what extent is it great? What is this thing, salvation? If it's God-engineered and if it's God's big idea, what's my relationship to it? And so today we'll look at this. The questions that you've asked. Am I once saved, always saved? Great question. It's always being asked. Can I lose my salvation? Question that is always asked. This is a very clear, surprising question, but a clear question. Do I need to keep myself saved? Think of that. These are questions that theologians debate about. Why? Because Christians ask these questions. And it's vital that we go through them today and look at them. Number one, here we go. How great is God's salvation? So we look at this question. Can it be lost? Can you lose your salvation? You're going to hear me repeat this over and over again. Listen up, everybody. Can you lose your salvation? Here's the question. Now, I'm going to be dropping this question in front of you a lot. Can you lose your salvation? I have a question before I answer the question. I have a question for you. Do you have his salvation? That's the question. Do you have it? A lot of people today will ask this question or say, you can lose your salvation and here's the reason why. And they will cite verses, frankly, out of context. They will use verses that don't even agree with the position they're taking. Can you lose your salvation? No, here's a greater question. Do you have God's salvation? All of you need to be asking yourself that question. Do I have it? Am I really saved? This is critical. Well, can you lose your salvation? Listen, the answer is absolutely no if you have it. Pastor, the last church I went to said you could. I don't care what they said. I honestly don't care. Because every denomination of church life comes to you with a certain bias or propensity based upon how that denomination views Scripture. For example, the Catholic Church can have you excommunicated from the Catholic Church. The result is you're lost. And yet the Bible doesn't teach anything like that. Did you know that? Invented by men, invented by people. Some of you, I know many of you, should be taking a deep breath with that and relaxing. That was made by a religious hierarchy. The Bible does not say that anywhere. In fact, you're going to see that it says the opposite. How great is this salvation? If it can be lost, then it's not that great. But we're going to look at the reasons why. I love this. Listen, for there to be the possibility of being able to lose your salvation, there would first have to be the possibility of whatever God has done to be undone. That is a great statement. R.A. Torrey says this. If it's something that is able to be undone by us, and yet God has purchased for us salvation, we begin immediately with a contradiction. What in the world is going on? If that's true, if God has provided salvation at the cross through Jesus, and it's a gift given, we'll see this in a moment, but I can lose it, then I must conclude that my salvation is something that is ultimately based upon my ability to keep it or earn it or get it for myself. Make sense, everybody? I need encouragement. Say amen, will you? Think of that through for a moment. That flies in the face of many people's feelings today. Thank God you're not saved by feelings. What do you know? What do you know? Well, I feel like this, but I know that. Good, go with what you know. Critically important. John 3:16, you say, again? John 3:16? Yep, too bad. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only, preeminent, glorified, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, here it is, listen, should not perish. Watch, there's a double positive here. Should not perish. Are you trusting Christ? You will not perish. Number two, you're going to have everlasting life. That's the second positive. Did you get that? You who believe in Jesus Christ, God says that's possible because he gave us his Son on the cross for our sins. God did it. He invites you to believe in him. That's why, are you a whosoever? If you're a whosoever, which you are, if you're here right now, you're a whosoever. If you're a whosoever, you have the opportunity and the ability to now call out to Christ. God says, that's awesome. You're responding to my gift I gave you. And oh, by the way, here's the benefit. You'll never perish. You'll never see the grave. You'll never see hell, as we talked about last week. And listen, you'll have everlasting life. That's what he says. He doesn't say maybe. He doesn't say with hope. With if you're a good boy or a good girl. John chapter 1, verse 10, you're already there. It's open on your lap, but look at verse 10. John 1, 10 says, he was in the world, that is Jesus, and the world was made through him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ, before he was ever incarnate, was the creator God of the universe, says the Bible in many places. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jewish people. Those who he chose to be his people. And his own did not receive him. Look at verse 12. We read it a moment ago. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. Qualifier to those who believe in his name. John chapter 10, verse 27. I love these next few verses, you guys. This is awesome. I love these next few verses. John 10, 27. Jesus said this. Listen to this. Can you lose your salvation? Well, let's see what Jesus has to say about this. My sheep hear my voice. Listen, have you ever heard his voice? You must ask yourself that question. Don't ask your husband, honey, have you heard his voice? It's none of your business. You've got to answer. Lisa can't answer this for me. I've got to answer this for me. Have you ever heard his voice? And you know what I mean, friend. Don't ask me later. I don't think I've heard his voice. He's not talking about a voice that rumbles through the atmosphere and you hear it in your ears. He's talking about a bigger voice, that still small voice that is huge in your heart. You know when God speaks, it's yikes. What was that? And you know it. My sheep, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. Listen, I want to be a little bit sarcastic here with meaning. How do you know them, Jesus? Jesus, you're telling me by what you're saying that you have the ability to know who they are. That's right. I know them. And they follow me. Oh, that's awesome. Listen, don't say anything, don't raise your hand. But do you have the desire? Do you have the hunger? Yes, I know it's a battle. We'll get to that. But do you have the desire to follow Jesus? Is that in you to follow him? If you had a choice right now, would you choose to follow Jesus? If Jesus Christ walked in this room and walked in that side, walked 260 feet over to that side and walked out of the building on that other end, would you follow him? Only you know the answer to that question. Let's keep going. Verse 28, I give them eternal life. I give them. Do you hear the assurance of this? He gives it. And they shall never perish. It gets better. They shall, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Oh. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you trusting Jesus Christ? If given the choice to follow him, would you? Can you say, I've heard his voice in my soul. He has called me to pursue him. Then guess what? You are in the Father's hand and you are in Jesus' hand. And Jesus says, no one is able to snatch you out of our hands, says the Lord Jesus Christ. That is good news. Can you lose your salvation? Not if you have it. Not if you have it. Here's a happy truth. A great reality. Number one, God is the one, according to the Bible, who places us into the body of Christ. God places you into the body of Christ. You didn't make that up on your own. That's the church. Number two, God is the one who seals you, the Bible says, for the day of redemption. The Bible says God does this. Third, the Bible tells us that God is the one who keeps us to the very end. Good news, people. God places us into the body of Christ. He seals us unto the day of redemption, and he keeps us all the way through to that last moment you breathe your breath, and then you wake up in his presence. He places us, he seals us, he keeps us. These truths are so real and such a reality that there's a collective explosion, as it were, of truth that we are secure in Christ. You can't lose your salvation if you have salvation. Oh, it gets better. Romans 8:33. Mark it in your Bibles or write it into the margins of your notes there. Romans 8:33 says, listen, it starts out with a question. By the way, some scholars have said that this is the most provable, tangible explosion of truth regarding the security of your salvation found in Scripture. This is it. This is over the top. Paul lays it to the Romans out with a question. Verse 33, question number one, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? This is what it means, actually. Satan brings a charge against us. Has anyone ever brought a charge against you? Of course they do. The cool thing is, whatever people or whatever Satan or whatever the world wants to lay against you, this argument of Paul's means it doesn't stick. There's a reason why it doesn't work. Who shall bring a charge against us? Well, the whole world can't stand the Christian. That doesn't matter, Paul would say. It doesn't stick. It's not possible. Why? Here's the answer. To question number one is answer number one. It is God who justifies. It is God who says, do you believe in me? Yes. He justifies. I know you don't feel justified. You are more aware of your failure and of your spiritual shortcomings than anybody in the planet. It's supposed to be that way. You and I both feel horrifically unworthy of his salvation. But the Bible says God justifies us. He answers that question. Here's question number two. It's found in verse 34. Who is he who condemns? Answer, it's Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's an awesome, loaded response. Who condemns us? Everybody. Sometimes I even condemn myself, ladies and gentlemen, church family. You ever feel like that? You ever condemn yourself? The Bible says in 1 John that we do condemn ourselves, but cheer up, God is greater than our hearts that condemn ourselves. Why is that true? Why can we be confident? Because the Bible just told us here a moment ago that it is Jesus Christ who died for us. He rose again from the dead. Listen, you disprove those things and you've got something to worry about. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Disprove that. And here's the cool thing. He intercedes for us. What does that mean? Jesus is talking to his Father about you. And it's good. He says in the Bible, my thoughts toward you are for a hope and for a future and to bring your life to a complete end. He says, my thoughts for you are for good and they're more than the sands of the sea. Go down to Newport, start counting sand, and be thou encouraged. Question number three. Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of God? Answer, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? Sword, this is precious news to those who are dying for their faith at the hands of ISIS right now. Sword, nope. No ISIS sword cutting your head off can separate you from the love of God. How cool is that? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's good news. That's how secure you are. This is perhaps that passage of scripture we read a moment ago. If you suffer from separation anxiety, you know what? I don't know what you need to do about that. Trust God, take a pill, whatever. But here's the deal. When it comes to separation anxiety between you and God, banish the thought. It ain't gonna happen. Okay, here's the lightning round. We were just warming up. Lightning round. Encouraging passages of Scripture. You can't lose your salvation if you have it. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has, the word means, literally possesses, everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That's the judgment of hell. That's the judgment of the great white throne. You'll never see it. You'll never be judged by your sin if you're a Christian. That's how saved you are, if you're saved. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God doesn't take it back. He doesn't save you and then say, you know what, I made a mistake. I'm going to take away your salvation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's one in a series that answers the question, can you have eternal life and then lose it? You Need to Know All About Your Salvation is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, these are times when we feel like our lives are being shaken to the core. Peter and the first century church were shaken by the Romans. Today in the 21st century, we're also being shaken by the powers that be. Still, we have the advantage of New Testament knowledge and immediate access to help through technology. And that's why Pastor Jack really offers so many different ways to optimize our devotional time and our relationship with the Lord. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find a lot of unique resources to stay informed, connected, and encouraged. You'll also be able to access our real-life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. It's all there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. realradio.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.